It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
And welcome to a beautiful Wednesday morning edition of Light the Tower here on the Horn 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig White. Glad to have you with us this morning. My co-host Jeff Howell will be along directly, as Jed Clampett used to say on the Beverly Hillbillies. He'll be along directly. He'll be joining us here in a few minutes. Our man behind the glass, Jonathan John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. He's here this morning. Good to see you. How are you?
What's up? I was kicking it with Coach Jeff Dykus yesterday on St. Michael's campus. That's the St. Michael's hoodie.
St. Michael's hoodie.
Mm-hmm. All right. Had a good time. The guys and the girls basketball teams both have big and legit state title aspirations. So
excellent.
So there's a buzz on the campus. You know, sometimes that's what you need is one program to go and maybe it ignites the others.
Yeah, and it can be a very nicely contagious thing, no doubt about it. Maybe that's the case with University of Texas athletics. Certainly, we hope it'll build on forward, and we'll have that with regard to Longhorn football. We know what Chris Beard is endeavoring to build with men's basketball. We've seen what Vic Schaefer's done with women's basketball, getting him to the Elite Eight. And then there's volleyball, which has been at or near the top of the success chain in the past few seasons for University of Texas athletics. And here they are again, ready to embark on an NCAA women's volleyball tournament run and a chance perhaps to compete for a national championship. They are, after all, the number two overall national seed. And they're going to play on Thursday night and then hope to advance to round number two. The NCAA tournament begins on Thursday. Texas will play Sacred Heart at 7 o'clock. It'll be preceded by Rice and San Diego, so it begins on Thursday. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we're going to visit with Jared Elliott, head coach of the Texas volleyball team and that number two overall national seed. So we'll have that. Then we'll have Snoop with the Whataburger Top 5. Top 5 players to watch from the area on a state quarterfinal weekend. Did you have to do some real crunching here?
Well, it's tough because, I mean, only 5 spots, and, like, we have several teams, and there's a lot of important players. So I didn't know to go super obvious this week because there's a lot of people paying attention for the first time finally. So,
well, I mean, it does happen when you get to this time of year. We've got a lot of super obvious candidates out there. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And every week, too. But
yeah.
I know, like, I try to give, like, some kid that nobody's really heard of yet.
Yeah, right.
I have some more obvious names today, but it's exciting.
Yeah. So we've got that coming up. And then Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, will join us, as he does in studio and virtually every week. He joined us by phone last week because of the Thanksgiving shortened week and they had practice time shifted. But he'll pop in the studio with us right around the bottom of the hour. So we'll look forward to our weekly conversation with Coach Dodge. It's a state quarterfinal matchup, and what a fun game this should be. Westlake and Vandegrift. Of course, tomorrow we have Drew Sanders, the head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, on in our regular Thursday conversation with him. So it's great to hear from both of these great head coaches, just as we heard from Hank Carter at Lake Travis yesterday, an opportunity with our regular conversations, and now two of them go head-to-head in the state quarterfinal round. You could hardly ask for anything better than that. I know, Snoop, you're always you know, lamenting the fact that when districts 25, 6A, and 26, 6A have to meet in the bi-district round of the playoffs, you see teams eliminated out of that. Half of the eight teams who go head-to-head. But two are still standing, and now they've worked their way all the way back to the state quarterfinal round.
Yeah, we've been covering these teams since April. So it was a lot of emotional investment in time in both of these programs, and it's going to be bittersweet. I'm probably going to be happy and be sad, too.
And we still have other teams still playing, clearly. Liberty Hill in 5A Division II. You have LBJ, number one team in the state, in 4A Division I. You've got those teams. You've got Lago Vista still in action. So, yeah, there's still plenty of area representation. But we'll visit with Coach Dodge coming up around the bottom of the hour. We do have our inconceivable moment, and we'll have our inconceivable offerings for today. And certainly, and I think this will especially take note in the 11 o'clock hour, a lot more of college football coaching conversation talk. Jeff, I thought, gave some really good points yesterday on what happens about coaches leaving, and we'll look forward to it. Some more conversation about that coming up. So, yeah, we'll deal with that. Somebody asked me on the Specs text line, which is always open as well, 337-3776. Hey, Craig, where was the kolache place you were talking about yesterday? Well, we did find out yesterday that, unfortunately, my favorite kolache stop for many years had closed down, and that was the Village Bakery in West. But you still get good kolaches in town. There's several good places, you know, on the northbound side of the highway. The Czech stop's been there forever. On the southbound side, I-35, Slavochik's is there. There's several. There's other places in town. There's lots of good places. Hard to go wrong with any of those. So we'll look forward to that. But it's time now for a Longhorn Notebook. So we're going to give you an early edition, if you will, of the Longhorn Notebook.
Longhorn Notebook.
And that, of course, leads us to Texas volleyball, where the number two overall national seed Longhorns will take on the Pioneers of Sacred Heart. And that contest will come up Thursday evening at Gregory Gym. And that'll be at 7 o'clock. Joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, the head coach of the Longhorn Volleyball team, Jared Elliott. Jared, it's great to visit with you as always. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Terrific. And it's going to be the natural thing for folks to be very excited at this time of year about what you have going into the NCAA tournament. We've all gotten accustomed and used to all of this. I'm curious to get your thoughts on how good you feel about this team, as excellent a season as they had at 24-1 in another Big 12 conference championship. How you feel about this particular group going into this postseason?
Well, this is a special group, obviously. The ones that this is pretty much the exact same team, except for you know, our libero from last year coming back that was in the national championship. So they've worked really hard to get here. They're in a good mental spot, and I think they're excited to finally, you know, get into this NCAA tournament and see what kind of damage they can do.
Well, and part of the thing, and you and I've talked about this before, when I've asked you, you know, how well your team does certain things, and you said there are times when we're extremely good at the things that I want them to execute, and other times we could still get a little better and do things like that. One of the things I noticed was what you've got going on with blocks, because over the last 12 matches, you're averaging 9.5 blocks and opponents just 4 per match. And so you're now ranked 21st nationally with over 2.5 blocks per set. How much of that is just the execution and the continued work of your group, or has there been anything tactically different that you and the staff have had them going to where it's made them more effective in terms of collecting more blocks in a match?
No, it's been something that we've been hammering home, you know, since day one, and we're getting a little bit more proficient at it. I think it's something that takes a lot of time and work at, and, you know, we've just been kind of hitting it every single day in practice. So I'm pleased with where we're at in that area, and we'll get even better as the tournament goes along.
Well, and there are times when we've talked about how important it is. I'm always curious to get the input of coaches on what seniors mean to a team. You mentioned just about everybody back except libero last year without having your libero last year, but to have seniors who lead the way, and then to see Logan Eggleston, of whom much was expected going into the season. I don't think there's any question about that. And she seems to be playing perhaps her best, or very close to her, the best volleyball of her collegiate career right now. And she's been the Big 12 Player of the Week, the Offensive Player of the Week over the past three of the past 4 weeks. You know these players so well, and you know Logan so well. Is she playing about as well as you've ever seen her?
Yeah, she's really come on here in the last 3 weeks. I think that has to do with a little bit of stimulus because the tournament's getting close. She was just named Big 12 Player of the Year this week, so we're excited about that. And obviously, she's one of our leaders. You know, we had a little bit of an injury last week, and everything's fine now, but she really stepped it up when we needed her to, and she's a big-time player for a reason.
Visiting with Jared Elliott, Texas volleyball coach, here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Jared, the fact that that you've got seniors that are playing, well, do you get that extra sense of urgency from your seniors about this being the last ride? That's always something I hear going into an NCAA tournament or a bowl game in football or whatever, that it does mean a little more to, and in so doing, they kind of pull along some of the younger players who haven't had the full ride experience of it yet.
Well, for sure. You want to be able to have the experience of, you know, seniors that can be you know, ready for this tournament, teaching players how to, you know, be prepared for it and getting after it. And obviously, the closer they are to ending their career, they don't want it to end with a loss. So they're doing everything they can to make sure they're in a good spot.
And this also, Jared, has to be kind of unique for the team, for you, given the quick turnaround, obviously, of seasons with what happened with COVID, and yet reaching the national championship. I would imagine, even with the quick turnaround, even with things being so patently different last year and then having to adjust to that going into this year, that the drive that your team has to finish the job getting so close last year is probably about as good as it's been.
Yeah, it's kind of a hit and miss because people don't realize we've actually played three semesters in a row. So we've been playing for a year and a half. And there was an emotional exhaustion from it. You know, they've been playing, you know, they got to the point where COVID was their relief and that's all they could do and enjoy it when they were out of their apartments and dorms. But then it came to, this is all they're doing in life and they don't have anything else they can do because these young ladies sacrificed a lot to get to where they're at. And they're ready now, I can tell you that. They're excited to play.
I always ask coaches going into NCAA tournament play, no matter the sport, when you are a team that is seeded, certainly is seeded as highly as your team is, first of all, how do you like the draw in terms of, I mean, you're the number two overall national seed and you're playing at home all the way up to the Final Four if you keep winning. But what do you think of the draw when you first, and I know you're zeroing in on Sacred Heart, but when you look at the bracket and you look at the draw, what's your thoughts as it struck you?
Yeah, you know, I was a little surprised, obviously. But, you know, you can second guess everything you want to. We were 24-1 and we got rewarded with having Washington, who won the Pac-12. We got Kentucky, who won the SEC, and we got Nebraska, who was one game away from winning the Big Ten. So it's, I think, got definitely the toughest bracket. But historically speaking, we've always done the best when we have big names in front of us. So there's part of me that's really happy about it, and there's part of me that's questioning it. So I'll tell you how it works out in 2 weeks.
I gotcha. All right. How about the other thing I always ask when a coach gets ready to get his team ready for postseason play, that deal about playing somebody from another part of the country that you haven't gone up against, and I know there are services and you can get video and things, but how much do you know about Sacred Heart when you look at them on tape?
Well, it's nice now. There's a system that we have immediate access to all their matches, and we have a statistical program where we break down, it's a bit like Moneyball, and so we know a lot about them, and we're excited to kind of get our rhythm going and start the tournament and more worried about our side of the net because obviously we've got some physical opportunities that they don't have, and it's more about what we're doing on our side of the net and making sure we're ready to play.
I heard Chris Beard talk about this morning when he was on Bucky and Aaron talking men's basketball, and then he said our game Friday is early because our plan is to get the guys over to Gregory Gym to see a volleyball second-round match there. We want to be there to support them on Friday night. So I know having a vibrant home crowd, which always is the case, certainly at Greg Gym, important to you, not only tomorrow night but also on Friday night, assuming things go well and they're in the second round.
Yeah, you know, Greg, it's an interesting. I've been here 21 years, and the fans expect a lot from us, and rightfully so. But, you know, we haven't been able to sell these games out, and it's a little disappointing because we only have 4,000 seats for the first and second round, and we need them to come out, and we need them to kind of back up what they want from us, and that's national championships, and they're a big part of this, and our players love when our fans come out and give that effort to making the effort to get out to our gym and play, and watch it.
All right, we'll look forward to it. Hey, Jared, let's do this again as this tournament continues because I know we're all planning and hoping for a big run. I appreciate you taking the time this morning.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Jared Elliott. What a job he's done, and just a tremendous record, all-time winningest coach there at the University of Texas. He did that this year when he won his 523rd match back in October, but he continues to. He's got a career winning percentage of 829. That's how good Jarrett's done there. And, of course, the team is a national finalist a year ago. They play tomorrow night at Gregory Gym, first round NCAA tournament. There's a match at 4, by the way. The winner of that would play, assuming obviously the Longhorns take care of business and defeat Sacred Heart, the winner of the Rice-San Diego matchup. Rice against San Diego, and of course, the Longhorns have already played and beaten Rice this year, so they know about them, and that was all the way back in September when they swept them. But they'll play the winner of Rice and San Diego in the second round, assuming things go well in the first round. So it'll be 7 o'clock tomorrow night at Gregory Gym. And then on Friday night, the second round match would be at 8 o'clock. So that's also the reason why Longhorn basketball will be played at 6. So our thanks to Jarrett Elliott joining us here this morning.
Hey, Austin, shout out to Riley Heinrich. He used to go to Rouse. And then DeAndra Pierce, who went to Austin High. She's a freshman. So
you like those locals being on it?
Yes.
Yeah, as well as those veterans, no doubt about it. All right. Speaking of veterans, my co-host is here. He is the pride of Northwest Williamson County, a proud graduate of Florence High School.
Damn straight.
And of course, former honorable mention All-District offensive lineman for the Florence Buffaloes, where they knew him as Highway 79. You know him best for his outstanding work at Horns 24/7. That would be Jeff Howell. How you doing?
Busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Mm-hmm. That's an old oldie but a goodie, an old tried and true phrase.
Got portal activity. We got coaching stuff going on. Roster movement on the 40 acres. So just a lot of stuff going on.
That's there. That's a phrase that we've only really gotten acquainted with really and truly the last couple of years. The phrase portal activity,
portaling, if you will.
Yeah, portaling. Oh, now it's a verb.
Portaling.
I'm portaling. I'm entering the portal, so therefore I'm portaling.
Plus, it was a big morning at Casa de Howe. It is December 1st.
Yes.
So,
meaning?
Yeah, you know, all parents out there involved in Elf on a Shelf know where I'm going with
okay.
this. Charlotte's Elf came back in the middle of the night and showed up, and he'll be here through Christmas. So
excellent.
Snowy woke up and her popped up at the house in a bowl of marshmallows when Charlotte woke up. So it's big. It's a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts right now.
Okay, Greg,
on all fronts in my world.
Just to finish up our Longhorn notebook for this hour, and then Jeff will have the extensive football one next hour. We were visiting with Jared Elliott. There is Texas women's basketball tonight at the Irwin Center. It is at 7 o'clock against Jackson State. It's an intriguing Jackson State team. They played a couple of opponents pretty well, Miami and Ole Miss. And their center, who's really talented, is Amisha Williams-Holiday. She's 6'4", Gulfport, Mississippi. She averages 18 points, 9 rebounds, and a couple of blocks per game. She played for Vic Schaefer 2 years ago. and Mississippi State. So he was talking quite a bit about her and about them at the luncheon yesterday. But you can hear that game on 105.3 The Bat, 6:45 with the pregame start time, and 7 o'clock with the tip-off from the Frank Irwin Center. Time now for a Whataburger Top 5.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 players to watch.
So, top 5 players to watch on a state quarterfinal weekend. Snoop Daniel, what you got for us this morning?
This was tough because I could have talked about a million kids. My tie at 5 are two guys that I think should have Division One offers because of how they broke out this year. It's LBJ wide receiver Trent Leary and Andon Thomas, athlete Andon Thomas. Now, Andon does have an offer from Army, but 197 tackles so far on the year and 2 rushing touchdowns last week against Rouse. They're using him wherever they can because he's one of the best players on the field. And he's getting his, and then Trent Leary, 3 touchdowns against Bernie, including several outstanding athletic D1 looking plays for scores. That kid is awesome. Bucky Godbolt actually pointed him out when he played for Del Valle because he was there to see Caleb Burton and Braylon James, but he said, that number 3 kid, that's the best receiver, and that number 3 kid is Trent Leary today at LBJ.
Yeah, okay.
So that's, I'm telling you, and Bucky knows talent, I think. Number 4, yeah. Whataburger top 5. Jesse Leha. He's a junior running back for Fredericksburg. He's their breakout player this year, 1,200 rushing yards for the Billies this year. They lost to LBJ 40-14 back on October 5th. That was the lone game that Jesse did not have a rushing touchdown. So hopefully he gets it
back. They're going to need one or more from him this week on Saturday.
Yes, and I was going to say Cole Immel, but he's the senior there, but Jesse's really broken out, deserves some shine. Number 3, an obvious player, but Westlake wide receiver Jaden Greathouse. He's been a starter on varsity since a freshman. Mm-hmm. He had 2 receiving touchdowns last week against Far San Juan North Alamo.
Far San Juan Alamo North.
North, thank you. Yeah. I'm getting it, Craig. I'm closer and closer.
Yeah, you are.
And you know what? I want to point out something. He had a 56-yard pass against Lake Travis, and I would not be surprised if there's a gadget play for Jaden this week.
Okay.
Just something to watch. Number 2, Caleb Burton, wide receiver for the Lake Travis Cavaliers. You know, he didn't have a touchdown last week, but 6 total the 2 games prior. And he's kind of, people forget, he was once the number 1 recruited, number 1 wide receiver ranked in the nation, Caleb Burton,
at one point.
Yep. So, Ohio State commit, and he's really come on of late. If he wants to solidify his high school story, he didn't even play his sophomore year. That's how good he was. How do you do that? Play as a freshman, then don't play as a sophomore, you're number 1. Amazing. So, Caleb Burton, my number 1 player to watch.
Yep.
Vandergrift quarterback Braden Buchanan. The eyes are going to be on Clemson commit Kay Klubnik for Westlake, but Braden quietly. I told you, this is 42 passing touchdowns this year. Coach Sanders told us this guy can run. He hadn't run all year. 2 rushing touchdowns a week ago. If Vandergrift wants a shot in heck against the train that is Westlake football, number 5 is going to have to be big, and that's my number 1 player.
There it is.
Whataburger top 5.
Snoop with the Whataburger top 5 players to watch.
And I wasn't yelling. I was just passionate about what I was talking about.
Okay. It's all right. Even if you yell, it's okay a little bit. By the way, Belton Gringo wanting to know, Jeff, did you play football at Florence with Thad Pugh?
Thad Pugh, yeah. Great dude.
Oh, Pugh. Yeah, I'm not. I don't have my glasses on. You're right. Pugh. I went to Ellison with his older brother. Thad met Kansas City Royals great Frank White's daughter at TCU and ended up marrying her.
Thad Pugh, great dude. Thad got the All-State football and the academic All-State, the twofer there.
All right. Question, why do y'all continue to say top 5 when y'all keep trying and making it a 6 and a top 5? Ridiculous! Either do an actual top 5 or do a 6 or do a top 5 and want to size it and include an extra team or person. Does it really bother you that much?
Bother them enough to text the show.
There's plenty of lists that have like a tie at the number 5 spot. It's okay. It's called the Whataburger Top 5, but occasionally we have it. You know, we have that.
Do it just to say more names.
Yeah. That's why he's saying, why don't you just make it a top thing, whatever.
Okay.
We say it's Whata-sized, you know, if you want to do it there. But It's okay.
The sounder doesn't sound as good when you say top seven or top eight, and we can't change it every day.
So. And it really and truly was a top five for a long time, and so we just added more. You know what? And here's a legitimate reason for it, too. This year, the greater Austin and Central Texas area is having more success all the way through the classification ladder than they've ever had. I'm talking about in terms with records and with teams advancing into the playoffs. All the way down to the smallest division. I mean, Granger got knocked out last week at the Sweet 16. But from 2A D2 all the way up to 6A Division I. And, I might add, San Marcos Baptist Academy, the six-man private school level anyway.
Playing for a state championship on Thursday.
So that's
at
why.
At Waco ISD. Hey, real quick, too, I just Googled something, and I totally just forgot what I was going
to
say.
Oh, sorry. So I'm sure you'll pull up, and we've got Todd Dodge getting ready to come in studio here in just a few moments.
I had a thought. I thought it was just pertinent and poignant, and it just totally slipped my mind.
As soon as we go to commercial, you'll remember.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
All right. We'll continue because Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, will join us when we continue. But Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
This Saturday, high school.
This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way and Jeff Howe with you. Stu Daniel alongside. And once more, pleased to have our weekly conversation brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out on the web at cpdoors.com. Head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, Todd Dodge, is with us in studio. Glad to see you. I know last week was the abbreviated week with practice and all that, or in and around Thanksgiving. So glad to have you back in the house this morning. How are you?
It is great to be back. I always appreciate y'all having me on. Last week, Craig, we did the show. I was on the on the tailgate of my pickup truck watching the Turkey Bowl go on, and that was a lot of fun, and it was nice to be practicing there about Thanksgiving.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned the Turkey Bowl, and I've known about yours for several years. But apparently, Turkey Bowls are happening all across the country.
Yeah.
At all different levels. I heard a college coach refer to it. I've heard high school coaches refer to it. It's a real family and community tradition, isn't it?
Well, it's gotten to be a deal at our place that we give probably about 25 bring ups an opportunity to come up for the playoffs. And that's about all we can handle. You know, we can't suit up 170 kids. You know, we can suit up about 110. And so, but we always tell them at the beginning of the playoffs, now listen, if we make it to Thanksgiving, there's going to be a deal called Turkey Bowl. So if you can't, you know, be here for the playoffs, just let us know. It's not going to affect your future. But at least, you know, allow someone else to be a part of it, you know. Yeah, you know. I think I'm not so sure that the idea of a state ring or the idea of playing in the Turkey Bowl is more important to some of them, you know, because I mean, as it starts, the whole community is kind of talking, hoping we get there. And I will say this, that senior Caden Bliss, backup wide receiver, you know, we always say it's where legends are made in the Turkey Bowl. Forever and ever, people will remember Caden Bliss for a couple catches he made in the in the Turkey Bowl, so good for Caden.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. And then your team went out, certainly, and handled its business again against Far San Juan Alamo North. You, I know that you're pleased at this time of year, if the weather is inclement at all, to get a chance to play indoors. That proved to be the case on Saturday with all the rain and everything that was going on. So with all of that in play, your team went out and performed very well.
Yeah, we did. You know, once again, as we prepared for Far San Juan North, our kids just, you know, they go, okay, show us the video, coach. Okay, what are they in? Show us the video. They take the production that they see as real-time production. You know, they don't go into the deal of, well, they're playing this guy, they're playing, they go, hell, they're rushing for 350 yards on everybody they play. We better play well. You know, they play really good pass defense, you know. So, you know, our kids, we just have not had a hard time of our kids getting into that deal of we're confident, but we're not overconfident. We're not, you know, as I've said before, we're not going to disrespect any opponent. We're just going to try to get off to fast starts.
Would it be safe to assume that obviously they're going to respect their opponent this week? that they will not be overconfident this week, but there's this added wrinkle of familiarity because I'm sure there's some kids from Westlake that know Vandegrift kids and vice versa and all this, and you've got, and this is a really cool deal to get a chance to go over play in DKR Texas Memorial Stadium. All of the stuff that rolls into this that's different than, say, playing a San Antonio school or a Valley school or a Corpus school.
Well, personally, I just think it's great for Greater Austin area football to have a regional championship right here in the city of Austin between two Austin teams at DKR. I'm sure the Vandegrift kids, I know ours, they are very, very excited about the opportunity to play there. They never get too big for their britches on these kind of big venues. It's a neat deal for kids. And so, and for coaches, I mean, all of us, everybody's excited about that. The fans are excited about it. It'll probably seem like about a spring scrimmage because, I mean, the 100,000 people, I mean, when there's, you know, 20,000 people at the game, it's going to seem like there's not many people there. Right. But we're very excited about that. And you know, I don't know how much familiarity the teams have with each other or not. We haven't played each other. We played each other 2 years in the same district. Haven't played each other in 4 years, but we are close, and I'm not naive enough to think these kids, they're in the same town, so they know each other probably a lot better than our kids or their kids know someone from in a regional final from a team from San Antonio.
For you personally, Coach, just going back to DKR one more time, where you spent many a days, and I know it's been a minute since you last took a snap there, but just to be going back there one more time in a big-time ball game, what's it mean to you?
Well, when you go into this coaching deal, I would have thought that within 36 years, it wouldn't have taken 36 years for me to have an opportunity to coach at my alma mater. To say that it wasn't important, that wouldn't be truthful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always had the, you know, if that opportunity came about, of course, coaching so long in the Dallas Fort Worth area, that really never came about. Being here, you think it may, and it has. And so, yeah, it's special. There's no doubt about it. Place looks a little bit different than it did 36 years ago.
Well, and you brought up a good point. Your times at South Lake Carroll, you played like what, Lufkin down in Waco. You played in the Alamo Dome in the state championship. You played other playoff games, stuff like that. It just never happened. It never worked out to play DKR, did it?
No, it never did. Never even came close to working. We, we were playing everything. We did play two state championship games in the Alamo Dome, and probably that has everything to do with it. It has a roof on it. You know, when we played the other team, Katy one time, and then Westlake one time. And then we always met Lufkin, you know, Coach John Outlaw, one of my dearest friends. I love that guy. Rest his soul, you know, from Lufkin. And we'd always play in Waco.
Yeah. Well, and visiting with Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals here as they get ready for this matchup. In terms of when you look at Vandegrift, mm-hmm. and we're all kind of familiar, obviously, with what Coach Sanders has done and how he built the program up from there. But what's the thing that strikes you most about them when you look at them?
I just think they're just, you know, from a standpoint, they're very versatile. You know, as a football team, you look at their defensive line and their linebackers, you know, very productive. You look at their secondary, really nice set of athletes in the secondary. So a lot of times when you have that, then maybe you go over the other side of the ball and maybe your skill position players on offense maybe aren't quite up to speed. Well, not with them. You know, a very nice set of athletes in their skill position players. Very, very capable quarterback. And then their special teams are solid. So, you know, as you look across, you know, and you look at the three phases of it, and all three of them are ones that can win football games for them.
Coach, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about, you know, the college football coaching carousel. I want to get your thoughts on coaches getting nine-figure contracts and going from one blue blood program to the next. Did the nine-figure deals, the money floating around, make you want to maybe think twice about this retirement deal and maybe dip your toe back in the college game one more time?
Well, it is crazy. And it's just, you know, 10 years ago, is when I had a little 5-year window of being the head coach at North Texas and then the quarterback coach at Pitt. And so that 5-year window, and I was coaching at a group of five school at North Texas and then in a Power Five school at Pitt. Wow, has the money gone up in 11 years? Yeah. Unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, you know, do you want to dip your toe in it if the right call always came? But no, right. My deal right now is you know, we went that direction, and I am in high school football is exactly where I was supposed to be. But it is very interesting on how much money, and good for them.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Good for them. If somebody wants to pay someone that, guess what? Out in the real world, if someone offers someone $9.5 million over 10 years, well, guess what? They're going to say yes. They're going to say yes every time, and so good for them.
I want to get your take on this too, because you know a lot of the under the microscope stuff now is how Lincoln Riley handled his exit from Oklahoma, Brian Kelly handled his exit from Notre Dame, and you've done it a couple different times. You've had to make the decision to leave one place and go to the mm-hmm. next, and you've been the new guy coming in to a place. What is the general public, including us in the media, because we can't get inside a coach's head and understand what goes into that thought process. What is that process like when you've got that opportunity? You've got a good opportunity where you're at, but there's that one thing that maybe it's taking a risk, but gosh, it's a risk that really intrigues you to take.
Well, I'll just tell you, Mom, my small window of how it happened for me at North Texas back when I was at South Lake Carroll, they reached out to me 1 week deep into the 2006 playoffs and asked me if I would be interested in coming and visit with him about the head coaching job at North Texas. And at that time, okay, you talk about financially, you know, now I had to go visit with him, but financially it is an absolute no-brainer mm-hmm. on what you're making at the high school level and what you could be making at the college level. So I just told him, you know, that if this has to get out before this journey is over with, I'm out. You know, I just don't. I don't want to do anything to get in the way of our window of opportunity.
Right.
There at Carroll, and so I went and visited with them and started to feel like I was the guy. And I had them, you know, where they were saying, "Hey, we can wait all the way till December the 19th before we announce it." And so I felt good about that, you know. And really, the rumor mills and all that. It really wasn't that big a deal then because just where social media has grown.
Exactly, yep.
And if you I really did not want to – I didn't want to talk about it until after we got through playing. And we played all the way till December, whatever the day of the game between Carroll and Westlake was played. Well, we were getting ready to play Allen in the semifinals, and they told me, said, listen, we're sorry, but it's about to leak into the media. And it's going to be out in the Dallas Morning News within the next 2 days, unless, you know. And so what are you going to do? And, I mean, my first inclination was I almost turned the job down.
Really?
Yeah, because I just did not want – so I thought about it in any way. I talked to my son, Riley, and Riley's our junior quarterback. And he knew – he was in the loop, and he knew. And I told him, and he said, Dad, you know, if you take the job at North Texas – and it gets announced all that, if we get beat and we don't win a state championship, that's not going to be the reason. So, but what I guess what I'm getting to is I had the opportunity to sit down with my team and tell them exactly what was up before I ever accepted the job at North Texas. And so that was very important to me.
Yeah.
And so I think that
– Did you do that before, like, say, the semifinal game?
Yeah, I told them before – I told them the Monday that we played Allen in the semifinals. And that's the most nervous I've been during a week of any game that I've ever coached. And we beat Allen 38-0 that day. And I've never been more nervous because I just thought, if this gets in the way of this team, then I'll never forgive myself. And it didn't, and we were able to finish it off. But, you know, and I think that every one of these men, Lincoln Riley, and every one of them has great intentions of being able to sit down with their team and go, listen, guys, this is what I'm going to do for my family, and this is what – I mean, you don't necessarily have to agree with and all that. I love you. Appreciate everything you've done for me to get me there. Because really the reason that Lincoln Riley's getting that job and because the guy I'm looking at here, Brian Kelly, right now is getting their job is because those kids they're talking to, and you right. want to be able to say thank you. I worked for a guy one time that left in the middle of the night, didn't tell anybody, you know, and text, you know, mass text the team. You know, I won't mention any names, but I found out while I was on the road recruiting, you know, and so that's not real good.
No, that's terrible. There's a lot of assistant coaches that are dealing with that right now, too.
But. Yeah. Snoop, you had a question for Coach.
Oh, y'all are talking like big boy talk.
What? What do you got?
Well, I wanted to ask about Kizer, and man, it looks like he's surprising everyone. I know y'all have faith in him, but is what he's doing, is it on another level? This is like Nikia Watson numbers, but a lot different type of guy.
Well, J.K., when he was in the third grade, he came to Westlake Shap football camp, and he got the camper of the week. All right, and so then the next year he got it again, and so we knew about the little kid when he was in like third, fourth, fifth grade because he would come camp, and his care factor was a lot higher than all the other kids. His maturity factor when it came to football, I mean, when he came to step into football, he was serious. It was no joking around. And so then he gets to middle school and he tears up the middle school league, and then ninth grade. The thing that really, I mean, when he started his sophomore year on JV this year and he ran for over 200 yards on Temple, and boy, Temple had a good-looking JV team. And then the next week he did the same thing against Euless Trinity, and he goes for 200. And I mean, he's dominating at 5'5", 160 pounds. He's dominating that little JV game. Well, I've never claimed to be smart, but I did figure out real quick that he needed to boot to the varsity. And so, you know, the thing, he's so unassuming, and the child really does not talk very much. They do say off the field he'll talk a little bit, but
I can't believe Audrey got him to do a post game interview.
Yeah, he didn't say much. You know, he's really, you know, and the comparison to Deuce Vaughn, I think, is one that us at Westlake, we never played against Deuce Vaughn, but we have so much respect for him, and we all kind of are fans of his at Kansas State. But the similarities are eerie. As far as when Deuce was a sophomore in high school at Cedar Ridge and the type of little players they are, and just very, very productive. And I'm glad he's on our team.
A couple other things that come to mind. One, I thought it was interesting. You were talking about the big matchup with Allen, and here's Riley's team with a big matchup with Allen this week in the quarterfinals up in Denton at Apogee Stadium there. So, and you said you and Riley talk all the time about a lot of things. So, I mean, obviously, it's got to be, and we've said it many times, a unique relationship. Here you are getting ready to coach a team in the quarterfinals. Here he is getting ready to coach a team in the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Well, it is very special. We are very thankful and that we are not on a collision course to play each other again. Not that we would get there, you know, but if we did, we'd – one time is enough.
You don't want to go through that again.
No, one time is enough on that. And so, yes, I mean, we can visit and share ideas and reminisce. And it's been a while since Carol and Allen have played each other. You know, when I was there of the last 5 years that I was there, we played them 4 out of 5 years. And sometimes we played them in the second round if we were in the same
region.
Mm-hmm. And then the other two times we played them in the semifinals, and we were able to win all of those. And then I think they set up a non-district home and home after I left, but they haven't played each other in a while. I bet that you know, North Texas, is it Apogee
Stadium?
Okay, so I sat and watched that thing be built. Okay, I helped raise a little bit of money to build that thing, and never got to coach in it. Well, my son played at North Texas. Now he's getting to coach in it. So, for the Dodge family, I'm excited that someone in our family is getting to coach in that place. But I do know this: I bet it's got a chance to have the largest crowd in the history of Apogee Stadium, even anything that the Mean Green has brought there.
Yeah, good chance of that. And then the final thing I was going to ask you is the fact when and we've asked you this several times, and you said it even before the start. Well, there's one thing I want to ask you about. You mentioned before the Temple game, before the season started, you were grateful to the coaching staff at Little River Academy.
Yes.
For allowing you guys to come in, and you did your pregame meal there on your way up and taped and all that. So I'm sure you followed them all the way through them, you know, going three rounds deep in the playoffs. It was good. It was a good ride for them.
Yes, it was. And every time Elizabeth and I watch y'all's show on Friday nights or Saturdays now, we're always looking for Little River Academy. Our kids in our locker room are looking in the newspaper or online all year long. I mean, literally, the start of the season after that, on Saturday morning, Little River won, and it's like everybody in our locker room, because everybody, you know, the kids appreciated getting a chance to go there. And we appreciate that coaching staff and everything.
The final thing is that we've talked quite a bit about you are going to enjoy this last ride, no matter how it ended and that sort of thing. So here you are in the Elite Eight right now. Are you enjoying it as much now as you have at any time in your career?
Absolutely. I'm enjoying it. This morning's practice would just jumped up and just hit me right between the eyes that we've had some teams here at Westlake that absolutely get it, but – yeah, we had a really good practice this morning, but it went south for about maybe 10 minutes. Well, guess who got it back in line? Team, captains. I didn't have to say anything. And when you've got a program at that point where your football players care as much or more than the coaches do about what happens on a day-to-day basis, then you're going somewhere.
No doubt. Hey, I appreciate the time, and best of luck on Saturday.
Thanks. I'll see you all there. Appreciate you.
All right. That's Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals. Westlake against Vandegrift on Saturday afternoon at DKR at 2 o'clock. We'll have more coming up when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn.
Inconceivable.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Our thanks again to Westlake Chaparral's head coach, Todd Dodge, joining us as he does each week on the program. And they'll play Vandegrift tomorrow on Saturday. Tomorrow we'll visit with Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, as we have all season long. And we'll get his side of it. Of course, you can hear the broadcast Saturday on 101.9 and AM 1260. 101.9 and AM 1260, you can hear the broadcast. And, of course, you can hear the Lake Travis matchup with Brennan here on the Horn on 104.9. So, busy times. And that's what I was talking about earlier when I said this is a landmark year, really, for high school football in the greater Austin and Central Texas area. Because it's all out of one thing.
For sure.
Despite what female listener number 19 posted and said, these are not two Austin teams. They may have Austin addresses, but true Austinites don't consider them Austin schools.
Okay, just root for LBJ then.
Hey, let me ask you this. What is a true Austinite anymore?
Well, you've got LBJ still, so just root for LBJ.
What? I'm serious. What is a true Austinite? It's such a melting pot right now.
I don't know where the city begins and where it is.
Yeah, okay. I'm like Snoop on this deal. I root for all of the area teams, right? You want all of the
if they play club ball together, then
yeah.
But Snoop wants to figure out a way, Craig, where they can all advance. You know, somebody's got to lose. Yeah,
no, 40 state champions all from Austin.
Okay, on to a couple items.
Hey, you know what's inconceivable? Yes.
What's inconceivable?
We'll do a little inside baseball. How many like pairs of headphones and mic screens and all kinds of stuff in the studio gets stolen?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's become quite conceivable. Yeah. It's been happening for a few years that we had one pair of headphones that went missing. But
if it ain't yours, don't take it. How about that?
Yeah.
It's a little simple piece of advice to follow.
Okay.
Anyway, Craig, proceed. Sorry.
That's all right. What do we say are the some of the pillars of what this segment is about?
Meth, which that's just kind of...